B-Pod Studios.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
88-year-old Norman Kenny says that his Friday afternoon was going just smoothly. He said, I just returned from the store, parked my car, and when I closed the door, I heard this little mew sound. The retired fire chief says that he thought the sound came from his cat. He said, so I looked, and it was a fox that was starting to come to me. He says the fox was able to actually take him down to the ground after pouncing on him. He said, I'm in the middle of the driveway trying to beat it off with a cane, and the cane kept breaking. Kenny was scratched and bitten all over his hands and face. He received treatment at the hospital, including stitches on his finger and eyebrow.
From a fox?
Yeah, he said the fox must have grabbed onto my eye. He said it's a wonder he didn't get the eyeball and pull the eyeball out. He says that a nearby neighbor helped pull the fox off of him, and police say that they had to put the fox down. The fox is still being tested for rabies.
Wow.
He's 88 years old.
Okay.
Yep. So for Kenny, this is a cruel version of deja vu, because back in September,
he was wrestled to the ground by a worm.
He strangled a rabid fox to death with his foot when it attacked him. This is his second fox attack.
What the F? You see him around here fairly frequently.
Yeah.
He said the January attack was a bigger fox. The last one, I was able to get it with my foot. This one, I was just strangling it with my bare hands, hoping that it would stop clawing me.
Shut up, dummy.
It was a red fox.
It's a situation Kenny wouldn't wish on anyone. He said, I was afraid that he was going to get too close and really chew me up.
Jeez.
Kenny is receiving treatment over the next couple of weeks to make sure that he is rabies free. In the meantime, he is going to have to travel with a little more firepower. He said, I got a different walking stick. It's an old one.
With a machine gun.
An old wooden one, and I'm going to start using that. And anyone who comes across a potentially rabid animal is asked to seek shelter and call police.
Do you see him out by you a lot?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
With the running around with the senior citizens in their mouths.
Yeah. Records indicate a woman wearing an FBI hat had told clerks that she was with the CIA while trying to access an Indiana gas station security cameras.
What are the letters on my hat again?
Officers were dispatched to the Golo gas station in reference to a woman identified as Lisa O'Donnell trying to look at camera recordings. She showed ID but no badge. When officers arrived, an employee pointed out O'Donnell driving away from the gas station in a white Charger with no plates on it. An officer activated his lights, pulled her over. She told police there that someone had been passing a passing of counterfeit money. Okay. And she needed to obtain gas station video. She also said that she'd been working in the area for months. When asked who she worked for, the affidavit said O'Donnell responded CIA, but she was wearing a white hat that said FBI on it. O'Donnell stated police.
Get your story straight.
Police should run her ID, saying her license would reflect her credentials. Her license didn't, in fact, confirm her status as a CIA agent.
Maybe she was deep undercover, Preston.
So they contacted another officer for reference, and he was told that O'Donnell didn't work for the CIA or the FBI.
Oh.
Also, she had taken the Charger for a test drive from a dealership and never returned it. That Charger was reported stolen and then impounded. She was transported to the county jail.
Well, maybe she was freelancing.
She might have been. Frustrated with how things were going in court, a man facing multiple felony charges who was wheelchair-bound rose from his wheelchair Monday afternoon and flipped over a heavy table in front of him, sending legal papers flying.
It's a miracle!
As he yelled profanities, sheriff's deputies promptly wheeled Jeremy Hsu out of trial and out of the courtroom during his final pretrial hearing. Hsu is charged with one felony count each of first-degree home invasion, car theft, theft from a building, identity theft, possession of a controlled substance, and so on.
We'd like to amend our plea.
Hsu's attorney, Walter White, by the way, said that Schwartz should recuse himself, the judge, from the case based on Hsu's prior court interactions with him. Hsu rose from his wheelchair, flipped the table after being told that he would not receive additional time to prepare for his January 23rd jury trial. White, who has represented Hsu on previous cases, had made note of him being confined to a wheelchair minutes before Hsu stood up and flipped the table over. He apparently had told the judge he's had a series of strokes.
Oh.
He's now in the county jail and is on $50,000 bond.
This is this goes hand in hand with our observation that when anybody goes into court for something like Harvey Weinstein, suddenly he's a cripple with the walker. Mm-hmm. Suddenly Bill Cosby can't see.
I guess they think it's going to buy him sympathy.
Yeah.
A Las Vegas couple has filed a lawsuit against a dentist alleging the man set their 5-year-old daughter's mouth on fire.
Oh, my God.
During a routine procedure a year ago. The lawsuit filed last week against Just for Kids Dentistry and Orthodontics owner Dr. Deep Karen Dillon seeks more than $15,000 in damages.
You just made a mess in my mouth.
The lawsuit alleges the girl's parents took her to Dillon's practice to have several crowns put on her teeth. The girl was placed under anesthesia for the procedure, during which Dillon used a tool called a diamond burr. A diamond burr is a tool used to grind away hard tissue, typically a tooth's enamel. So during the girl's procedure, the tool emitted a spark that caused the throat pack in the girl's mouth to ignite and produce a fire that lasted a few seconds. The girl was rushed to University Medical Center, where she remained for 4 days as she was treated for burns to the inside of her mouth.
That's got to be a nightmare.
As well as her lower lip. Yeah, she suffered.
It's like the ultimate pizza burn.
Burns to her epiglottis, throat, tongue, mouth, lips, and other surrounding areas.
Jeez.
The lawsuit alleges the girl had to return to the hospital about a week after her release due to continuing pain and hearing loss. Her second hospitalization lasted 9 days. Dillon has an active license and no record of disciplinary action. I've never heard of you setting your mouth on fire before.
No, I've heard of we had that thing. You had the story about a patient going up because they're using a type of
electric scalpel. So,
yeah, right.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
Well, the man was arrested on Sunday for allegedly assaulting his girlfriend after she complained that his fart, quote, smelled horrible.
Wow.
Police in Wichita Falls said. The victim told police that she and her boyfriend, Christopher Ragsdale, were at a friend's house when Ragsdale allegedly passed gas. Ragsdale's girlfriend commented on the smell, which is when he grabbed her by the hair, pulled her to the ground, and began choking her.
Jeez.
This dude was very angry about the fact that his fart smelled. The victim said she could barely breathe but was able to call attention to her friend who was in another room. When the friend showed up, Ragsdale removed himself from his girlfriend. Police were then told that while the friend went to get the keys so they could leave, he proceeded to headbutt her, prompting the friend to separate them and call the police.
That makes me rethink their wedding.
Yeah, when the police arrived, his girlfriend had a visible red mark around her neck from being choked, as well as a red mark on her forehead where she was struck. So this dude is
freaking lunatic.
Yeah, he's in jail, and he's being held on $10,000 bond. Las Vegas Metropolitan Police have released video, and I've not watched this yet. I need to see this. A 93-year-old man shooting his apartment manager, reportedly over water damage.
I watched it. He is absolutely emotionless.
He's methodical, right?
Methodical.
Yeah, that's what I read in this. In a press briefing, Sheriff Brett Zimmerman unveiled the jaw-dropping footage, which showed the nonagenarian calmly walking into the apartment complex manager's office before shooting the helpless man twice.
With a Glock.
Thomas, who has no criminal history, was reportedly upset his apartment had flooded and blamed management staff, so he brought in a Glock 9mm to help voice his concerns. Footage shows him walking into the office wearing a black coat and hat and talking to the manager and his assistant. A few moments later, he calmly removes the handgun from his inside pocket, prompting the shocked female assistant to call the police. Unperturbed, Thomas then points the gun at the wall and fires a warning shot. The bullet goes straight through it and through a computer screen on the far side, as a third staff member can be seen in the foreground making a hasty exit. And then, after allowing the female staff member to leave, he aims the gun at the manager's leg and fires another round, sending him crumpled to the floor. Like a scene out of a gangster film, Thomas stands over him and lets him writhe around in pain for a few moments before he takes careful aim and fires a second round into his other leg. And just seconds later, an armed officer is on the scene screaming at him to drop the gun. The cop fires a round through the glass door, shattering it. And Thomas places his gun on the desk before the officer bursts in and pulls him to the ground, arresting him.
I have to say, obviously, this is insane, but it yielded one of the best mugshots I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Miraculously, the bullet...
Oh, my God.
We just saw the mugshot.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Okay.
So does he suffer from dementia? Is he?
I don't think so, Nick. Miraculously, the bullet fired by the officer went straight through the lapel of Thomas's jacket, but never touched him. He was charged with attempted murder with a deadly weapon, kidnapping in a with a deadly weapon, and more.
Now, he's saying his intent was not to kill and just to make a point.
His exact quote was, I'll tell you this, the police, Thomas told the police that he would do it again.
Yeah.
He told the court that he didn't want to kill the victim, quote, just mess him up a little bit.
Yeah. When you shoot someone with a 9mm Glock in both legs, that's more than just messing them up a bit.
Oh, yeah. You can kill them. Easy.
Yeah,
a leg shot can hit your femoral artery.
Yeah.
It can do all kinds of nerve damage. It'll permanently, mess you up. All right. One more story, and then we got to wrap things up. Let's go with this one. A woman named Candace Neal, 41 years old, busted for a felony drug possession when authorities showed up at her house and found her methamphetamine stash cleverly hidden in a box that had a label on it that said dope. She may have been trying to employ reverse psychology. It didn't work. An unidentified complainant reported finding the box and called police. When authorities arrived on Saturday, they found the box in question, but no Neal. She was arrested later that night after being found hiding behind a residence. She's being held on $3,000 bond. She labeled it dope.
It's like keeping your porn in a box called Boner Jams.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.